There's a story in the canon. A nun is coming out of the forest near Vulture Peak Mountain. After having spent the day trying to meditate with not much success. And down by the river, she sees an elephant trainer with an elephant. The trainer says, "Give me your foot." The elephant lifts his foot. The trainer uses his foot as a stair step to get on the elephant's back. And the nun says to herself, "Seeing that animal brought under human control, thoroughly trained." Her mind got under control and calmed down, which is why she'd gone to the woods in the first place. When we see an animal trained like that, especially a large one like an elephant, it gives us a sense that they're close to being human beings. And that's interesting. It's the training that makes them close, which indicates that part of being a genuine human being is that you get trained as well. The Buddha talks about how difficult it was to train elephants. You capture a wild elephant, and it still had its forest resolves or wilderness resolves, its wilderness desires, its wilderness habits. And you had to train them out. Offer it grass, offer it water, played the lute for it, until it decided that it was actually okay being with human beings. It could take the training. Now it sounds like we're going against the elephant's nature. We're going against part of the elephant's nature. Training basically means that you develop useful potentials in an animal and try to get rid of the useless ones. Because if the elephant didn't have that potential for intelligence, you couldn't train it. What we're doing is trying to find which potentials are worthwhile. And it's the same in the training that the Buddha offers. Again and again, he talks about this as a training. Like the training, say, that an athlete would go through, or anyone trying to master a skill. You're taking your potentials, your good potentials, and you're highlighting them. You're emphasizing them. You're strengthening them. Learn to overcome the potentials you have that would go in the other direction. It's all for your long-term welfare and happiness. And that, the Buddha said, is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of intelligence. And you realize that some things you have to do and some things you have to avoid if you really want to be happy over the long term. And again, you have to see that it's not going against your true nature, because all too often it feels like that. Say when you're exercising sense restraint, things you want to look at in a certain way or listen to in a certain way. And the training says no. And part of you says, well, this is going against my nature. Which may be part of your potentials. But you have other potentials as well. You have the ability to think in the long term, to want something that's long term. That's part of your nature too. So don't see the training as something unnatural. Simply highlighting part of your nature will be for your long term welfare and happiness. As with sense restraint, you go through the day. You look at things, you listen to things. You have to ask yourself, why? You've got eyes, of course, you've got ears. You can't help but hear, you can't help but see. But when you're looking, when you're listening, that indicates it's more intentional. What are your intentions? Sometimes greed wants to look, or anger wants to listen. Jealousy, fear. Are these parts of your nature that you want to encourage? Or would you rather encourage that desire for a true happiness that lies beyond these things? Because we as human beings can conceive of that happiness. And as the Buddha said, we can find it. He's setting out the training. So when you look, ask yourself, why am I looking? And if it's for the sake of greed or lust, can't you look in another way? For the sake of non-greed, non-lust. But when you listen, if your anger is listening, can you listen for other purposes? Can you listen in a way that makes you see that anger is really stupid? It is possible. So think in these terms. It's not nature versus training. It's nature versus nature. Which nature do you want to encourage? The same applies to not only the things that come into your senses, but also the things that come out of your mouth, out of your body, out of your mind, in terms of the actions you do. Say with the right speech. When you say something, ask yourself, why am I saying this? What is my purpose? If the purpose is to misrepresent the truth, well, you don't say it. If the purpose is to hurt somebody's feelings, don't say it. If your purpose is to divide people, to make X hate Y, out of fear that if X and Y get together, you're going to be in trouble. Don't say those things. Particularly with divisive speech, this is so prevalent in our world right now. It seems like every voice in the media is trying to engage you to hate somebody or to side with somebody. You've got to realize that that's all wrong speech. You don't want to pick up that habit. As for idle chatter, there is some purpose for social grease to make things go smoothly in a group. But as with any engine, if you have too much grease, the engine stops. So when you open your mouth to say something to make things go smoothly in the group, ask yourself how much is necessary and then stop when you've accomplished your task. In other words, have a purpose for your speech, a good purpose for your actions, for your thoughts. Think of a John Lee's image of the house with windows and doors as you open and close. With something bad inside the house, you close the doors, close the windows so it doesn't get out. Something bad outside, you close the windows, close the doors so it doesn't get in. Be very selective once you open and close. Otherwise, our minds are like bus stations. Anybody can come in, anybody can go out. All kinds of things can happen. And what happens is that the unskillful parts of your nature get developed and the skillful parts get wasted away. So remember, it's part of being a human being is training. Because as human beings, we have all kinds of potentials. If you have any intelligence, you want to develop the good ones, the ones that will be for your long-term welfare and happiness. And as long as you frame it this way, it's a lot easier to submit to training. So you don't feel like your nature is being squashed or being denied. It's just some aspects of your nature have to be trained, have to be subdued. Other parts have to be brought out and encouraged. And an important part of being a human being is being intelligent enough to see that training is necessary and it's going to be for your own benefit. And the Buddha is offering us the best training there is. Training in how to find the deathless, a happiness that's not subject to conditions at all of any kind. And his genius was in saying you find the deathless not by conceiving the deathless or hoping for it, by solving the problem of suffering. Because the tendencies of the mind that create suffering, well, they're the tendencies that lead to birth and becoming. Anything that leads to birth and becoming is going to lead to more aging, illness, and death. That's going to get in the way of the deathless. But if you can tame the parts of your mind, the natures of your mind that go for becoming, so you don't go in that direction anymore, you're not creating the causes for birth, and when they're not creating the causes for birth, they're not going to be aging, illness, and death. It makes a lot of sense. But it took a genius like the Buddha to see this. And then to figure out that rather than talking about the deathless a lot, he talked more about solving the problem. In solving the problem, he talked about the training. So this training has a high goal. There is that potential within us to find something that is totally unconditioned, unfabricated. And we can fabricate a path to go there if we train ourselves. So focus on the training. Focus on the aspects of your mind that want that kind of happiness. And that are intelligent enough to see that whatever is needed to get there whatever sacrifices, they're all worth it. Once you found it, you realize there's nothing else that can compare. While you're in training, or while you're being trained, you may not know it yet, but have some confidence that there are people who know this. As the Buddha said, the people who are generally in training are those who have seen the deathless already. They know where this is going. And they can train themselves. Those who finally totally attain it, those are beyond training. They don't need any more training. For those of us who haven't gotten there yet, wisdom lies in training. In seeing that parts of your nature have to be subdued so that the better parts of your nature will be allowed to blossom.